So what we're going to do this morning is I have one goal in mind today, and my goal is simply to challenge you, So if you're the type today that you're here and you like to be challenged, you're that type of person, you're in the right place. And on the other hand, I apologize if you're not a person that likes to be challenged, but I want to apologize in advance for wanting to see you grow, okay? I want to see you grow. So we're going to challenge you today. I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a couple weeks since I've had the opportunity to share with you. I think it's been since Christmas Eve. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it up and look for the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I do also want to extend the challenge that if you're coming to church Bible-less, that you please begin to carry a Bible, even if it's an app on your phone. It's just real important that you begin to look and see for yourself that, yeah, these things are really in the Bible. So, and you'll be able to find these books when you're at home. So please begin to carry your Bibles. It's important. 2 Corinthians chapter, we're going to look at chapter 8, and we're going to read the first seven verses of this chapter this morning. Today will probably be about the 12th or 13th time that I've read this passage this week. And it was a passage that I wasn't real aware of. But as I read it each time this week, just something inside of me got very, very excited because that's just what God's Word does. It creates life. So I'm very excited to share it with you this morning. So we're going to read the passage. If you don't have your Bible, we always provide the words on the screen right above me. But before we read, it's always important to know what's going on, the context of what's going on. You just can't jump in to a verse, because that's sometimes how we take things out of context. So what we try to do is we try to provide you with the context. What's going on when Paul is writing this letter to a church in the city of Corinth, okay? So what you need to understand, at the time of this writing, there's a church in the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city. Actually, this is really the first church ever. The first church ever is in the city of Jerusalem. And the people who are making up this church are primarily Jewish people who have converted to Christianity. So they were brought up and born in Jewish homes. Then they heard the gospel message and they gave their lives to Christ as a result. And I want to let you know it wasn't an easy thing. Because as a result of coming to Christianity, having this radical change of faith, they were going through a time of real testing, of real pressure. They were going through persecution, okay? And the primary source of their persecution was the actual Roman government. They didn't like it that these people left the Roman world or were now engaged in the Christian world. So what the government was doing, if they owned a business, they would close those businesses down. Okay? Or if you worked at a business that was Roman, they would say, hey, you're no longer a Roman or a Jew. You can't work here. So I want to let you know, the people that were part of this church in Jerusalem, they were going through some tough time, persecution. They didn't have any source of income. There was poverty was how they were living, a part of their DNA. So needless to say, the First Assembly of God Church in Jerusalem was struggling, okay? They were going through a very difficult time. But here's the deal. There were other area churches surrounding Jerusalem, other area churches, and they caught wind of what was going on in Jerusalem. It wasn't a text message or it wasn't whatever, but what it was Paul was writing letters to these other churches, and he was letting them know what was going on in Jerusalem. So what happened is these other churches decided, hey, we're going to get involved with their problem, with their challenge. So what they did is they began to take offerings. So when you go to the church in Corinth, what happened for a period, every time they would get together, every time at the beginning of the week when they would get together, they would take a special offering. And that offering would be set aside for the church that was struggling in the city of Jerusalem. So they did that week after week. They did that month after month. And when we pick up our story, it's about a year later. So for about 52 weeks, they've been taking offerings for the church in Jerusalem. And now Paul's writing them a letter, and he's telling them in this letter, specifically chapter 8 and 9 of this book, he's telling them, hey, I'm going to be coming shortly, or I'm going to be sending somebody your way, And what I want them to do, they're going to pick up the offering that you've been putting aside for the last 52 weeks, and we're going to take that offering and we're going to bless the people in the city of Jerusalem who are really, really, really struggling. So that's what's going on here. And I want to let you know that Paul begins this conversation about this offering by sharing a word of encouragement with them. And the word of encouragement is this. I want to tell you about another church that's been getting involved in this same offering. And actually, this is a church that was made up of a number of different cities. It was in an area called Macedonia. Macedonia. So the churches in Macedonia were also participating in taking this offering for the church in Jerusalem. And Paul shares with the church in Corinth, check out what they're doing. So that's where we pick it up. So is everybody ready? Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
If you're ready, say ready.
Ready.
Come on, let's go. Verse 1, Paul says this. Now I want you to know, he's talking to the church in Corinth. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. I want to stop and look at that verse. It says, I want to show you what God has done through the churches in Macedonia. I want to point out something very, very important that I hope you never, ever forget. And that is that God works through people. I want everybody to hear that loud and clear. God works through people. God doesn't work dependent of people. He works through people. Meaning if God wants to get something done, he needs a people to get it done through, okay? But here's the key piece of the puzzle. People need to be willing and people need to be available. I really believe there's a lot of things that God desires to do, yet can't do because there's not a people that are willing and available. So I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I available? Am I available? God, I know there's some things you might want to do in my neighborhood, my church, in my family. But God, you work through people. Am I available? Am I a person that possibly you could work through me? So ask yourself that question. Am I available to be used by God to help other people? God is wanting to use not just clergy. He's wanting to use all believers. Amen? Amen. Let's move on. Then he goes on to talk more about the church in Macedonia. He says, they are being tested. What? Yeah, they're being tested by many troubles. And he goes on to say, and they're very, very poor. We're going to stop one more time to say this. A lot of people have this mindset when it comes to be used by God. God, I'll be used by you when everything in my life is perfect. God, I'll be used by you when everything in my life is going good. I'm through all my troubles. I'm through all my problems. When everything looks good in my life, God, then I'll step up and you can use me. I want to let you know, if you're going to wait till everything's perfect, guess what? You'll probably never be used by God. Are you hearing me this morning? You'll probably never be used by God. There's a beautiful verse tucked in the book of Ecclesiastes that says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And I think that's so beautiful. If you're waiting for everything to be rosy, easy, you know what? You're going to be waiting a long time because you may never get anything done. It may not ever happen. Let's look at the rest of the passage here. But they were also filled with abundant joy. So they're going through problems, but they're also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Paul's saying, I didn't put their arm behind their back, make them yell uncle. No, these people came up with this all on their own. Look at the last verse. It said, they begged us. They begged us. Paul, please, again and again, for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They're saying, Paul, please, please, we beg you. We want to be involved. They even did more than we had hoped for. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to do. Okay? By the way, if you're sitting here today thinking we're going to talk about money, you're absolutely wrong. So everybody say, Oh, thank God. Erlen talked about that last week. We can't do this 2 weeks in a row. Everybody just take a deep breath. We're going to talk about other things. But I want to read one verse again. And it's going to be verse 3. And the first time we went through this, I read out of the New Living Translation. This time I want to read it out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. And it's on the screen. Paul says, "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify," and everybody say this word, "to infinity and beyond their means." Let's all read that verse together. "For gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means." Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these awesome Christians who are living in Macedonia that stood up to the challenge and reached their capacity for you. And Lord, I just ask God that you would stir by your Spirit, that you would be at work in the next 25 minutes, that you would be at work in this place today. God, I pray that we would all leave here challenged, that we would not be able to leave the same way that we came in. I pray for the dynamic work of the Holy Spirit to be at work in this place. God, I pray that you would use me to be your instrument, your vessel to communicate this challenge today. But Holy Spirit, humbly bow before you today and declare that you are so needed in this place today to bring this word to life, to give it a heartbeat, to give it a pulse, to bring it life in our lives so that we'll go out of this place today and we will be challenged to reach our capacity, and it would all be for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk about one word, and the one word I want to talk about is the word capacity. Everybody say capacity. Capacity. Say it one more time with some capacity, okay? Well, what is capacity? I'm going to throw out a couple different definitions of the word capacity. If you were to look this up on Google, the first definition that would appear on the screen is the one I'm going to share with you right away. Capacity is the maximum amount that something can contain. Capacity. The maximum amount that something can contain. Then you roll down quite a bit further, and it says this about capacity. Capacity is also the ability to do something, meaning we all have an ability to do things. We have a capacity, ability. But what I want to do first is I want to look at this first definition just a little closer. It's the maximum amount that something can contain. So what I want to do is I want to give you a visual illustration this morning, because I think people learn visually even more than just through audible. So I want you to have this picture in your mind as you leave church this morning. And here we have a fancy glass. And I want to let you know this glass has a capacity. Would you all agree with that? It has a capacity. This glass can hold just so much water. Okay? So I got water. Is anybody thirsty? Say, oh, yes. This glass has a capacity. We're reaching capacity slowly but surely. Capacity is coming. This glass has a, somebody say stop, capacity. Okay? It has a capacity. It can only hold so much water. If you keep pouring, it goes beyond capacity. It pours over. Okay? For the point of this illustration today, what I want to tell you this morning and what I want to make very clear to you this morning is your life, my life, our life, is like this glass. We all have a capacity. We all have a capacity. And when it comes to your life, when I'm talking about capacity, I'm talking about things like we all have abilities, we all have gifts, we all have time, we all have talent, we all have resources. I mean, I think of the beautiful verse in Genesis when it says we were created in the image and the likeness of God. Come on, folks, that's pretty powerful. God made us with tremendous capacity. Would you all agree? About five of you, that's powerful. Agree that you have great capacity, okay? So we all have capacity. Amen. Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. All of us, not just most of us, but all of us, have settled for far less than we are capable of. Actually, research tells us that the average person is probably living up to about 10% of their capacity. You know that? They say people that are really above average are living up to about 20% of their capacity. So I know this is a crowd that's way above average. So we're going to be generous, and we're going to sit at about 20%. We live up to about 20% of our capacity. And here's why. Why is that? Come on, man. I want to reach my full capacity. Why am I stuck at this 10%, this 12%, this 20%? Why is that? Here's why. Because many of us haven't been challenged. Everybody say that word together, challenged. Challenged. Another word could be comfort zone. Can we show the picture for comfort zone? Yeah, there you go. That's you. You're in your box. You're not challenged. You're hiding out in your comfort zone. Don't challenge me. I like it right. I like this. This is good. This is like where I like to be, because if I get rocked a little, I don't spill over. Okay? So a lot of us haven't been challenged. We're in a comfort zone. So with that being said, here's my challenge for all of us today. Here's my challenge for all of us today, is that we would move beyond our comfort zone so that we could reach our God-given capacity. We could reach our God-given capacity. And as a result of reaching our God-given capacity, what we could do is we could begin to impact other people. See, I hope we're not all caught up that this is all about us. I hope we're caught up in a much bigger picture. I hope we're caught up in the fact that, you know, this isn't about me. This is about Heather, my kids, my friends, my neighbors. It's about other people. Lord, can I reach my capacity so I can make an impact on other people? Lord, can I reach other people, more importantly, so that my life will give what? Glory to God. Glory to God, okay? Because I want to make a difference. And what we do is we do this by challenging ourselves. You say, well, what's the connection here with the passage of Scripture we read? Well, there's a major connection with the passage that we just read, because we need to understand this is exactly what the believers in Macedonia did. See, when it came time for them to give towards the need of the church in the city Jerusalem, the Bible tells us very clearly that they could only afford to do so much. I mean, they could only afford to do. I mean, you look at the passage again. The passage says, it says not only were they poor, the passage goes on to say they were very poor. You say, how poor were they? They couldn't even pay attention. Okay. Free of charge. But on top of that, we're told that they were not only poor, but they were being tested. The government was coming down on them. Their businesses were being taken away from them. Their businesses were being closed. They didn't have any resources, any income. Some of them were being beaten. I mean, it was just a time. It was an ugly, ugly time. And I don't know about you, but if I'm Paul and I'm writing a letter telling about a church that has a need in Jerusalem, I'm thinking, okay, you folks in Macedonia, you can sit this one out. I mean, you're as in bad shape as they are. Why don't you guys just sit this one out? You can opt out of this giving for this year. But you know what? They didn't. They didn't. They challenged themselves to what? Remember the word go what? Beyond. They went beyond their means. They went beyond their comfort zone. They challenged themselves that, yeah, we can only afford this much, but we're going to give even if it means we have to hurt, okay? And you know what the results were? The results were, if you think about the story, the results are threefold. Number one, they were able to bless these other people in Jerusalem. Number two, the passage specifically says that they were filled with abundant joy. There's something to be said about you're helping other people even when you don't have it yourself, but you stretch and you help. How many people know that does something in you? Does anybody agree with that? You want joy in your life, do something for someone else. It's amazing what begins to happen. And number three, I believe that made God really, really happy. Because what father doesn't love to see their kids helping each other out? And here you have these two churches, these area churches helping. I think God's like, yay, these are my kids. They're getting excited. Needs are being met, all because they were willing to go beyond their comfort zone. They were willing to challenge their capacity. They were able to help others. Okay? And I love that. And here's what I want to say to you today. If you and I are going to reach our capacity, and I want to open this up to any area of your life. It could be financially, it could be academically, it could be spiritually, it could be physically, it could be relationally. If we're going to reach beyond ourselves and we're going to reach our capacity, we got to be willing to challenge ourselves. And we need to be willing to go beyond what we think is possible. We need to go beyond our comfort zone. We need to go beyond what is normal. We need to challenge ourselves if we're going to reach our capacity in every area of life. Amen? Amen. Let me share a personal illustration of what this looked like at one time in my life, okay? For years, when it came to sermon preparation, it used to be very, very time consuming. Because I used to write out my whole sermon with a pen and paper. Can you imagine that? Now, I want to let you know, it was very time-consuming. By the time I was done, I probably, no lie, would probably use about 30 to 35 different pieces of paper. Because every time I made a mistake, every time I had an addition, every time I had a subtraction, I'd have to start all over again. And it was really painful, okay? And it was very, very time-consuming. So Heather, being the wonderful wife that she is, okay, she was seeing my pain, okay? She would see my pain, and she would often challenge me with these words, "Have you ever heard of a computer?" I don't know about you, but how many people went through high school and college before there were computers? Me. I remember I used to pay a girl $1 for every page of a paper she'd type for me. $1. I mean, I made that. I put that girl through school. You know what I mean? So I would, when Heather would challenge me to say, "Hey, why don't you try to use a computer?" I would respond this way. I would say these words, and I think it's on the screen. "I would, if I could." Has anybody ever said that before? "I would, if I could." You know what I was saying by "I would, if I could"? I was saying, you know what? Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I wasn't willing to try something new because, I don't know about you, but when I was in middle school, high school, I never took the typing class. To be honest with you, I didn't even know how to turn the computer on. I didn't know how to find the Word document and set up the format of how to put together a sermon for the week. And so I would say, "I would if I could. I would if I could." So everybody just say that together. "I would if I could." And I want to let you know, I'm not the only one that's ever said that. We have all said that. So don't just look at me like I'm some kind of, okay? But here's the deal. Heather would just keep on lovingly nudging me and encourage me. "You really need to think about the computer. You can do this. You can do this. You're a big boy." And you know what she was saying by continually encouraging me? This is what she was saying. "You could if you would." Everybody say that together. "You could if you would." I want 100% crowd involvement here. I want you to look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, "You could if you would." Is anybody enjoying that right now? You ought to see that person. You can look back and say, "Mind your business. You could if you would." Guess what? Heather was absolutely right. I'm proud to report that every week now I turn on the computer and I'm amazing myself. There's times I even shut my eyes, seeing I can type with my eyes shut. I'm just amazing myself. But with all joking aside, I'm discovering that there are several things in my life. There are several things in several different areas of my life that I could do if I would just step out and try them. Are you hearing me this morning? If I would just try them. Another illustration, I remember it was about 6 weeks ago. It was a Wednesday night, and I knew I was going to be taking Grant to school last Sunday, and I was like, "Oh, stink, I don't have a speaker." And I said, "I need to find somebody who's going to speak on January 1st? So it was a Wednesday night, and I cornered Erlen. And I said, Erlen, have you ever preached at Assembly of God Church? He said, no. I was surprised, actually. Then I asked him the second question, have you ever been asked? He said, no. I said, would you ever consider? And I think I kind of caught him off guard a little. You know what I mean? And he said, I'll get back with you. He never said this, but you know what he was saying? Everybody together. I could if I would. I'm sorry. I would if I could. A little hesitancy. I would if I could. But I tell you what. He did. And didn't he do a great job? What? Come on. That's okay. What was happening? Erlen, you have this great capacity. And you don't even understand what you could be. You would. You could if you would. Here's my million-dollar question of the morning. And it's directed towards all of us here this morning. Is there something that God is stirring up in your heart to step out and do? Is there something that God is stirring in your heart to step out and do? Or maybe is there something that someone is asking you to do? Or even this, is there a need that you're aware of? Is there a need that you're aware of? And your first response is, you know, I would if I could. I would if I could. Basically, that means I don't even really want to do it. I would if I could. Is there something that you're being asked of God stirring in your heart to do? Something you know you need to do? Maybe God's prompting you to invite somebody to church. Maybe God's wanting you to speak up at the office and stand strong for Him. Maybe God's saying, hey, you need to forgive that person who hurt you. God, I would if I could. Maybe God's stirring in your heart, you need to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. God, I would if I could. I would if I could. Or maybe God's just stirring in your heart, there's somebody you need to speak the truth to in love. And you know they may not receive it, but they need to hear the truth. God, I could. I would if I could. Maybe God's stirring on your heart, man. God's stirring on your heart. I want this to be a great year for you spiritually. And, oh, I got great things for you. You need to start having a daily Bible reading time. And you're like, God, I would if I could. I don't understand that book when I pick it up to read it. I would if I could. Maybe there's a certain person that God is really stirring in your heart to reach out to. And they're hurting and nobody else is reaching out to them. And you just feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you need to be the person to step up and reach out to that person. And I don't know about you, but in my prayer time, there's times I say, God, I would if I could. How many people know we can justify about anything? Yay or nay? Maybe God's just saying, you need to start being nice. You're nasty. Be nice. I would if I could, God. Be honest. Difficult conversation. Maybe it's time for you to apply for a new job, to move into a new career. Maybe it's a debt that's hanging over your head and you know you need God saying you need to pay that thing off and be set free. And you know, we sit there and we talk crazy talk. God, I could if I would. Or I would if I could. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm so excited. If that's you, I want to challenge you today with these words. You would. You could if you would. You could. You could say, I'm sorry. You could ask for forgiveness. You could. You could. If you quit making all the excuses and quit thinking it's always about you doing and realize you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen? And realize that Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And we need to just stop this silly talk and stop limiting our capacity. Do you want to live the rest of your life like this? Come on. How many people would be pretty excited about increasing your capacity this year? How many people would get excited about increasing your capacity this year? Anyone? Yes. All of us. And we're just waiting for these perfect conditions. If this would turn this way, if I win the lottery, and I don't even play the lottery, but if I would just win it. By the way, I'm totally against the lottery, so don't even think that way. But we think if we do all these things, but I want to let you know you have so much capacity. God has blessed you with gifts, talents, resources, time. God has given you so much. You're created in His image. You're created in His likeness. There's so much in you. There's so much capacity. And many of us are wasting it by saying, you know what, I would if I could. And what I want to do is I want our language to begin to change in this church. So imagine with me what would happen if we had a culture in this church, if we had a culture in this church, if we had a culture in our homes where we would stop saying, I would if I could, and we would start saying, I could and I will. I will. I will do better academically. I will do better spiritually. I will be better in my health. I will give more to the church. I mean, you could be 1,001 different things. What is God laying on your heart today, right now, as we talk? It would be amazing if we would begin to change our language. We would begin to change the culture. And we would start saying, I could and I will. Here's what would happen. We would meet the needs of other people. That's the beauty. We would also begin to experience the joy that they experience in Macedonia. And number three, we would bring great glory to God because we're living up to the capacity that He made us and created us with. Okay? So what do you say? What do you say? Are you in? Yes. Is anybody in?
Yes.
Are you willing to give it a try?
Yes.
Today,
yes.
You'll start to talk, I will. Because I'm here to tell you, you would, you could if you would. I think some of us would be just totally shocked what would happen in our lives if we would just begin to step out in faith. We would begin to step out in trust, that we would begin to step out in obedience, that we would begin to step out in saying, God, maybe not by myself, but I know that I'm not alone. You are with me. You are for me. God, we're going to do this thing together. God, I want to see amazing things to happen, and it's not going to be for my glory. It's going to be all about you. So what I want to do today, I was on a ride up to Chicago to drop off Grant last Sunday. And in the car, we got talking about church, which was a very interesting conversation. And he told me, he said, Dad, I got to admit that I walk into church late every week. I was like, why? He said, I don't like the music. I don't like the singing part of church. Concerning. But I love what he said next. He said, Dad, don't you think church should be about praying? Don't you think we should allow more time to pray? I said, wow. Yeah, praying. That's a good idea in church. So this is what we're going to do a lot this year is we're going to allow time to reflect. And I believe that God's speaking to people this morning. So what we're going to do, Jenny's just got some music we're going to play softly. What I want you to do is I want you to bow your head. How many people know God speaks today? He speaks to people. He speaks to hearts. And right now, I believe God wants to speak to some people here today about things you're limiting God, you're limiting your capacity, and there's some things that God wants you to step out and do. Please just listen very carefully to this verse. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. Everybody say immeasurably more. Than all we ask or imagine. According to His power that is at work within us. Meaning, according to the power of the working of the Holy Spirit within us, we can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. The key to that verse is according to the power of the Holy Spirit. The key is we're yielding to who? The Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about self-help here today. I hope you don't take it that way. I'm talking about we're doing it according to the power, the giftings of the Holy Spirit within us, working within us. And I'm not talking about this, doing all these things for us. I'm talking about doing them for other people. I'm talking about doing them for the glory of God. But I just want to challenge you as we leave today to quit talking like I would if I could and begin to believe that, you know what, I could if I would just step out, obey, trust. Because our desire is, God, we want to reach our capacity that you have created us with. Amen? Amen. And I'm here to tell you this year, I'm not going to leave you alone. Some of you have really aggravated me immensely. Because you're sitting there, we get this great gift called time, and we can't waste time. I've now been alive longer than I'll probably live my remaining years. And it's not time to just sit back, kick back. It's time to engage even more intensely. Amen?
Amen.
And say, God, I want to reach my capacity because I want to reach people for Christ. I want to reach hurting people. God, I want to glorify you. I want to be able to stand before you and hear these words, Mike, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. It's not time to quit. It's time to let's get after our capacity. And not only as individuals, we as a church need to get on the ball. Are you hearing me? And we need to reach our capacity as a church to reach our neighborhood, to reach our world for Christ. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Go after it this week. Get after it. Let's join hands with someone we came with this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing me out. Father, we thank you for your word today. We just ask your blessing upon your people as we go. And Father, I just pray that we would live our life for an audience of one. We're living our lives for you. We do all these things to bring glory, honor, and fame to your great name. God, we do all these things to put a smile on your face. God, we want to be the people you created us to be, to make our Father in heaven proud, to glorify him, to glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's go out there and let's make it happen. God bless you. Bye-bye.